maybe further round of engagement, and then we'll go straight to program 4 and 5 until conclusion. So, General Patlani, over to you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I thought one of the things that we must maybe clear is the issue around the detection rate, Chair. In the strategic plan, and Honourable Groenewald was asking for the definition of the detection rate. Page 14 of the strategic plan, it is that document which has got a cover like this. And I'm going to read both here and what is in the APP as a technical indicator description to try and clarify it. The short description of detection rate. The detection rate is measured to establish the ability of the SAPS to solve crime. It is the process undertaken by the SAPS, which extends from the time the SAPS becomes aware of a crime and where a case docket is subsequently opened for investigation until such time as a suspect has been arrested and charged on our system, that is the CAS or the ICDMS, or, this is the second part, the case docket has been closed off as unfounded, or, that's the third area, as withdrawn before court. And then this process will include the utilization of recognized investigative aids and the services of other subdivisions and role players. I don't think that further detail is required, but that is in brief what the short definition of a detection rate is, and it is included page 14 of that strategic plan document. Then in the the technical indicator that was provided for the strategic plan, it is defined as, it's a detection rate is an indication of successful investigations in relation to the active investigative workload. Successful investigation consists of 1, the positive identification, arrest and charging of a perpetrator. Investigations withdrawn by the complainant before the perpetrator is charged. And investigation closed as unfounded. And then active investigative workload consists of crimes reported to the subs, active investigation carried over from the previous financial year to the current financial year. So that's in brief what the detection rate is being defined as, Chair. I'm going to deal later with the questions raised by Honourable Ramatlakane. Chair, I was concerned if when Honourable Ramatlakane was saying he's becoming depressed, if us as bureaucrats who are supposed to be depressed, maybe because performance is not where it's supposed to be, but we will communicate the progress that we are making in this particular program, and I know that the honourable members are well aware of the poor performance that we had recorded in program 3, particularly during the 2015 2016 financial year, when we were doing, actually it was 14-15, when we were presenting the annual report, and it had shown that we were not doing well in that regard, and we made that undertaking that we are going to change the situation, and we are happy with the turnaround that has realized, particularly what we have observed having been recorded at the end of the financial year. But I'm just waiting for some figures to be able to say that. Maybe let me first ask Chair General Ravi to deal with the issues relating to the reductions. Honourable Chair raised an issue about the reduction of detection, particularly for serious crimes. Use that as an example. Reason for lowering that target when the target in the MTSF was, we are supposed to get to 56% and sustain it. And the fact that our target, with our target, we are going to come out lower. I think Chair mentioned 38% around that particular issue. And maybe if you go also to the slide, which will show, which one is it, the overall performance of the detectives, yeah? Program 3. Maybe, Chair, since it is located, it is here before us, and we accept the fact that this is not provided to the honourable members, it is just for us to be able to respond to the issue. When General Ravi presented, we have shown the performance over the three quarters. What is now before us is the performance of the financial of the financial year, with quarter four subject to auditing. But if we look at this, Honourable Chair, you will note that we have 28 indicators that have been achieved, and we have got only 6 that were not achieved. And that has been a picture developing at the end of the financial year. We have an 79.41% of target achieved. That is in respect of Program 3. There is a slide, Leon, if you can go back to, which shows the comparison over the years, Program 3. It shows 14-15, and then the... Okay. Chair, I will come back to that one. But what we are basically saying is that that's what we undertook to do, to turn around the detective services. We are happy with that progress. Of course, the targets may have been low, but low as they were not achieving them. So we now are in that space where in the main we are achieving those targets. So the next logical step is to increase those targets. And unfortunately, because we finalized the plan before the end of the financial year, we could not stretch the targets at this stage. It will definitely be the case for the next financial year. But also just to make sure that there is some consolidation, that we are able to sustain what we have achieved at the end of the financial year.
Sorry, General, it's just a follow-up from Honourable Mulabachi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Are we now at a point where we can say our detective performance has improved?
With confidence, without fear of contradiction, Chair. I think that program, if I'm not wrong, DPCI alone with their indicators, they've achieved something like 88%. detectives on their indicators. I think it was 78%. Forensic services, 83%. Of the forensic services indicators, we have six which were not there when we recorded a poor performance. We were only looking at two indicators. We have increased them, but they have achieved five of the six. That's why the 83%. So from what we have recorded, we are happy with the progress that we are making. We hope to sustain that. And you will recall we did say this is one we are going to manage closely. I do the performance review sessions on a quarterly basis of that particular program. And having seen the results that we are getting out of program three, we have now adopted the same with regard to program two to also monitor it closely at my level. Leon, the reasons for the reduction of the indicator check, if you may.
Honourable Chair, what basically happened is when we did the presentation to the portfolio committee at the time when we published the annual report of South African Police Service for the previous period, we experienced the same problem within the detective service environment that we were not achieving the targets as far as the detection rate are concerned. Now, the detection rate for, if you look at the detection rate for serious crime, that includes then the subcategories of crime as well. So if you're if you don't achieve your detection rate in terms of the serious crime, you will most likely not achieve the detection rate for the subcategories. It might be that you achieve some of them and some of them not. Now, at the time when we presented the performance of the South African Police Service, we indicated that the targets that were set were not realistic relative to the level of the performance of the detective service at the time. And we were then advised that we must go back and look at the performance of the detective service and adjust the targets to reasonable or achievable targets for that specific environment, or for this specific environment. Now, consequently, we reviewed the targets, and that's why for the one that talks to the contact crime and the one that talks to the serious crime is slightly lower than what it was reflected in terms of the MTSF. And the reason why we adjusted the targets was to make sure that the targets are in line with the current levels of performance of the detective service, that they are still, it's not set equal to the targets that we set for that specific environment still requires improvement. So if you look, for instance, at the, and this is just preliminary results, the detection rate for serious crime. The detection rate for serious crime, we set a target now of, 38%. Now, they're currently standing at 36. Detection rate for serious crime has now been set at 37%. The MTSF document referred to it as 38%. At the end of the financial year, the detective service was standing at 36.13%. So that the 37% target, although it's lower than what was set initially in the MPSF, it still requires a level of improvement. That we need to go from 36.13% to 37%. Now, the same principle applies to the serious crime category. The adjustment of the targets that we've done was to align it or to get it in line with the levels of performance of detective service, and that those targets must actually be at the end of the day be achievable. I agree, yes, in terms of we can have long arguments about the fact that that's low. In 37% for serious crime, that's a long debate, but it will serve us no purpose to set a target of 50% or 60% for those categories of crime, while we know that it doesn't fall, that all that we are will not be able to achieve that in the next 12 months. Our research has proven that if you look at the detective service environment, even if you implement specific corrective actions, you will normally see a 1 to 2% improvement per annum. You won't see a radical change or significant radical changes overnight. It takes time to turn the ship around. So, and that is important for us that the targets that we set, okay, number one, it must be challenging, but number two, it must be achievable at the same time. And that is more or less the principle that we applied.
Yeah, I mean, if I listen to General Patnaud's argument and your argument, the thing is, if we look at the general crime picture,
then you're not having that impact. Because you're only going to have impact on fighting crime if you at least have a target that is a challenge, but you go all out to achieve it. Otherwise, if you set the targets too low, you can pat yourself on the back. But the reality is you're not able to really address the core issues of crime.
Thank you, Jeff. I want to add up to your Jeff, I quite agree with you, because that's why I asked for the definition. And let's take the one, the ability to solve crime. What we are telling the people of South Africa is actually, when it comes to serious crime, we only have a 37% ability to solve crime. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the Achilles heel of the crime situation in South Africa. I can be naughty, Jeff, and say, if I can talk in the narrative of the new Minister of Police, I would say, the criminals, you must run. We're coming for you. We're coming to arrest you. Because that is where the problem is. And I hear what General Rabia said. He said that they lower the standards because it's not realistic, because the detectives cannot comply to it. And then we cannot lower the standards. Then at least we must look what is the problem. And I want to ask the Commissioner, what focus is he and his team going to do as far as the detectives are concerned? Because if the criminals get away, they just go on a rampage, they just continue with the crimes. And we have special years and debates in this committee as far as the detectives are concerned. So that is really a problem.
The issues that the honourable members are raising relating to the detection rate and in respect of the targets are valid. We don't dispute any. But the honourable members will recall it was this committee which questioned us when we said here unreasonable target and so on is not needed. And the question was, why do you come here and complain about an unreasonable target while you are the ones that have set those particular targets? So we have accepted the fact that those targets may have been unreasonable, as we have said, but it is also not making any sense to have set a target which you never get to. So find a way of putting systems in place to at least begin to achieve those targets, put systems in place to be able to achieve those targets, and then move towards upping them. Honorable Khunemans is correct. If criminals know that we're going to arrest you, put you in the cells, the following day you go to court, and the next day the court say walk out because the police have done a pathetic job. That in itself is not going to send a message to the criminals. And therefore, we, amongst others, said when we introduced management intervention, went into the docket stores. One of the things we did was to present to the honorable members our docket age analysis, which had shown that for far too long, some cases have been neglected. Now, we had to start somewhere to go and address those. In that process, Honorable Chair, we will recall that we have even indicated that when the dockets were perused, we found some of these dockets which do not need any other thing rather than going to the suspect and arrest, because the A1 statement was very clear who the suspect is and so on. And we could not answer the question when we got there to say, but why were these suspects not arrested? An effort was made to arrest those people. Now you could simply say you got maybe to that break-even point where you say there was a target which was never met. There had to be work done to push the performance up, to push systems in place so that we don't find ourselves back in that particular situation. Now that we are at that level, we are going to continue to be stretching ourselves in terms of increasing the targets. We could not, in this current financial year, immediately move and say from 30 to 60 or from 30 to 40, because we will be finding ourselves in a very same situation. So processes have to be reworked to reestablish ourselves to be able to move forward in that regard. And honorable members will know how much money was spent in the detectives, where the year of the detectives, and so on. And the question that must continue to be asked, did that prioritization, that investment, yield positive results? I think Honorable Groenewald asked a question that will still be responded to. How many detectives do we have? Was it just a question of adding numbers in as far as the detectives is concerned? The question of training, how many of these detectives have been trained to be able to do effective work? So, Honorable Chair, we agree with the view of the honorable members, but we are saying we are going there, but it was not possible to do that quantum leap at this particular stage. And maybe the other thing that Honorable Chair raised was removal of indicators. I think Honorable Muller also referred to it, the trial ready. Trial ready, we again came to the honorable members and said, and I will use this example that I continue to be using when I'm asking the colleagues. You now have done your investigation. This document goes to court. We have ticked and said, this document is trial ready. The prosecutor takes the very same document and finds things that are not done. He sends the docket back. We have already said to the honorable member, we have performed, tick. Now that docket comes back. When it comes back, do we remove that tick? No, it is there. The same docket goes back, another tick, it's trial ready. Another prosecutor comes in and says, no, it's not, you must still go and obtain it. So we are saying, it is one of those indicators in actual fact that means nothing to have introduced it there. That is why we have removed that indicator and say, let's put, it must not be quantity. It's not about the number of indicators that you have. It's about quality. What is it that they are measuring? I think all of us will want to see effective and efficient investigation work. We will also want to see cases that get to court. I mean, there are arrests that have been made. Now you wonder, in this case, the person is arrested. Now they say postponed. The case gets postponed for a year for further investigation. Why did you even go and effect that arrest if all you needed is not there? So that by the time it is in court, we can get these cases speedily processed through the court. And Chair, that also relates to an indicator that you mentioned on the violent, conduct, the prosecution of violent following, protest. Chair, it's something that it's something beyond our control. We saw it happening practically in an area like Vuani. We went and arrested even the leaders of the group that was in Vuani. The next moment, they go to court. Not that there is no evidence that these are the organizers here. What they were doing was to actually use others to go and ban. Now, we are not only going to arrest those who chose us. We needed to arrest these people. They appear before court. They have been granted bail. The same thing happens. They go back into the community. They mobilize. There is violence again. We arrest. We defended bail for a number of times. One day, just before the elections, those people were released once again. We were beginning to have problems. So it's an indicator as if we have got control over, because the court makes that decision let them go. Now, in our plan, it will be featuring there. who is being marked as not performing? We. But do we have control over that process? We do not. We will have done the investigation that we have done, presented these people in court, and when decisions are taken, in actual fact, it's an issue that even Cabinet was raising, that can we begin to look at the entire process so that we do not arrest people, get bail and so on, and they go back into the very same thing. I'm using the Bwane situation because it's very easy. We have similar cases with regard to some of the serious cases. Some of the cash in transit heists. Those people get arrested, they go in, they get released, they go back into that vicious cycle of committing those crimes. That is painful and demoralizing for the officers to be chasing the very same person, knowing that they actually have this particular person. So, Chair, it is amongst others why the violent conduct, relating to violent protests, they have been released. In earlier, Chair, we spoke about Koning. 67 people were arrested. Those people, some of them were caught directly with goods that they have looted. What happened? 300 rand bail. 300 rand bail. They are all out. Now, it is as if the police are not doing their work, but it is in these situations where our hands are very tied. And if that remains our indicator, it is us who are reflected as not performing, while the opposite is actually applicable. So that is the basis, Chair, on why this particular indicator relating to violent protests has been excluded from the plan. And the fear here is also that it will continue to generate it one area where they will it will continue to generate civil claims because every time you arrest, we have spoken about the people who line themselves up just to submit civil claims following one being released. So it is an attempt to try and manage the situation on the ground, Chair.
Sorry, General, there's three hands. Honourable Grunewald, Honourable Ramatakane, Honourable Chimalabachi.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've listened very carefully to the Commissioner, and I understand his frustration in a certain sense. But I think that part is part of the total criminal justice system in a certain sense. And it will be very unfair to blame the police services for after arrest has been made and everything has been given to the system and the prosecutors and everything the commissioner has told us now. I understand that. Although, I'm coming back to the detection rate, and I think that is an important issue. If you look at the conviction rate, it's in the 80s. So, in a certain sense, it also reflects on the good quality of the work from the police's side. So, in a certain sense, it shows it's in the 80%, which is not, which is quite good. But we must distinguish, as far as I'm concerned, between the detection rate then and then the conviction rate on the other hand. And maybe, Chairperson, if we have the time, we must have a summit some other way to get the criminal justice system, because I can understand. It is really a frustration. And the people making money are the lawyers. Maybe I must resign as the MP, become a lawyer, making money. So we understand that. Thank you, Chair.
I think it's lawyers is also the indicator, the wording. Yes, Honourable Ramadan.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and the Commissioner. I hear that motivation. But with respect, the issue of motivation in that particular way to justify the lesser or target that are going down. Can we use it well? See, there's a difference between a case, police have done what they have done. The statement is taken, the person has been identified, he's arrested, goes to court, gets a break, because that's how the law works. Person goes there, is known to be Mr. What living there, and I justify the reason for bail, he gets a break. But it does not mean that we must do away with the target because we are fearing that the bail will come in the in-between. So we might as well delete or erase all the targets until we have convictions, then we can then say what it is that we have. The question for me is that we need to say at least some way that this is accountability, this is how we're going to ask the police whether they've been able to do the work. The other failure of the justice of integrated criminal justice system cannot be the reason why we would just cut down the target in this way. And this is the issue that we've been raising again. I hear that the committee also motivated that the target must be adjusted this way. but I want to maintain this point, Chair, that the concentration of the police should be what are the other issues that we need to do in order for us to be able to achieve the target, this particular target. Not to reduce them to a point of meaningless. Because how many police of men and women we have? Close to 200,000. Are we really going to be justified to have the targets that some of them have suggested here? Can we justify to the country that we have this number of lots of brains, and I'm sure there's a lots of good brains in the police in trying to find the solution to this question. The reduction in this way is unjustifiable. It's a sufficient budget that we have. If the issue is going to be the quality of the statement that the police takes, we must put resources in addressing that particular question. If the money, the prosecutor sees the hole in the statement, certainly the prosecutor will say that that means there has been a shadow work that has been done in the beginning of the A statement. So, what am I arguing? I'm simply saying that I hear with respect the motivation and the concern and the frustration, but it's unjustifiable that we reduce the target to actually meaningless. That is why I said, and I hold this strongly, that I think on this one we should go back to basics. I understood the acting commissioner when he explained the 60% achievable on a detective the last time, that this has been and there has been a problem. But I did not, in my mind, believe that problem will result in the action in this particular way. So Chair, I want to humbly submit, that we would argue this point across the floor like this, and we're not going to quite agree. Based on what I think that there must be something else that the general can come up with the other generals about this target. If it is based simply on what has been achieved, if poor quality has been achieved, is that the sum total of what we must accept that we're going to get that the next year? I don't really
Yeah, I see a plethora of hands, and it's a great debate. I'm just watching at the time, and I want to go to crime intelligence quite soon, but Honourable Malabachi, Honourable Mabija, on the same issue, and then I want to close it, because it's quite clear, but I mean, as a committee, we will come with a recommendation, but I think it's good that we debate the issues. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. More than once, did I hear investigators say they should meet with the prosecutor before they go to court on a particular case. So what I want to ask here, is it the norm? Or is there something that is happening? Maybe something has to be cooked first, or what's happening here? If the investigating officer must first meet with the prosecutor before the case goes to court. I heard it more than once, and I became very worried. Because some were even saying, why this case did not go through is because I did not meet the prosecutor before, you know? Can I get an explanation there? Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Officer.
Chairperson, this issue is mind-boggling down to the marrow, because we all know precisely what could be the cause of this. This police men are really in trouble. And this is not the first time that we are hearing that a perpetrator are arrested, go to the court, and they get bail, they go back to the community and do the same thing. More than is necessary. So therefore, I'm going to say something that can render me unpopular. We, as politicians, we are the ones who are supposed to assist the men in blue, because we are the ones who are policy making lawmakers. So that we what we are supposed to do. I also even heard the president of the country talking about this issue of perpetrators who are arrested, go to court, and they are released. He made an example on the TV, and he was correct. That is precisely what is happening. And people on the ground, they no longer want to report cases to the police, because they know the perpetrators will be released in the court, they come back and kill them. And even when they kill, they will still go out on bail when they have been arrested by the police. So, therefore, I should think we need, as politicians, and I'm happy that we have a young black minister and deputy minister who will come up with fresh ideas on how to see that the justice system is doing things that do not demoralize the police who arrest those perpetrators. Because you can even think it means there's something wrong going on with our justice system. Because we cannot always be saying the detectives, the investors are not doing a good job. If they have the motive behind, when I couple what I'm saying with what Honorable Mulevati is saying, that they have to meet with the prosecutors first before they go there, it means there's something cooking in the pot. And that thing, it frustrates say, I'm innocent, but because I do not have money, I know I'm not going to make it. I don't have money to pay a jojo so that I can be properly represented. It's very painful. We must identify the cause of all these things and try to get ways to deal with them decisively. So it's then that this crime will act down, and it's then that this policeman will work with a strength, knowing that they are working for something that will make them happy, that at least we are saving the people of South Africa. Thank you.
No, there is a chair. No, Chairperson, the reason why I'm coming forward is because, you know, various interventions that are done by our police service in most of the. I'll still go back to the Cleveland's case, for example, in place like that. Because those things, the situation there seems not to be updating the way one would think it should, particularly after the interventions that have been made. But when you look closer to what is happening there, and you interact even with the prosecution division, then they will themselves, because of their independence and all that, tell you that no, the case, because for example in Japan, the generals here did a great amount of good job, Chairperson, I must be very honest. The people, I think General Cruz will be aware, the people of Cleveland, by the time we were going towards elections, they were saying that, no, yeah, we can see police doing a lot of good work here. People now have been arrested. Who killed some people over years without any arrest? Now, those people are then left in the hands of the provincial detective services, and then the National Intervention Unit pulls out. And you get the same deterioration again. Either witnesses getting killed before taking a stand in court, and all those small minor things, because these people have been given bail and all these. And you begin to say, what is it really that is happening here? Is our criminal justice system blind that it cannot be convinced, or maybe the police are not actually for what in convincing docket before them to say, even only if you allow this person, if you give this person a bail, this person will actually do 1, 2, 3, which will actually jeopardize the whole thing. Then you get them again, they cry the same thing again. And you can't say, you complain that the proactive uniform did not do its work in terms of putting down these people at a certain level. But the detective service in the province, capacity of the and also honesty maybe of it, because you will get these things, the Chairperson, of certain police. For example, that police officer, I'm still not happy, Chairperson. You know, General, with that police officer of Umlazi who stays in that hostel, who was found with a lot of arsenal, deadly arsenal weapons, who was just brought by the provincial commissioner for detectives, just for questioning. And I just said, why is this police officer not arrested, getting arrested, even only if he's found with illegal weapons? instead is being brought in for questioning. Then that tells you that there is maybe something that needs still to be done. I am raising this because whatever good work that our men and women in blue are doing, this thing of detective services, if and only if it is not actually then yielding or dispensing justice in the manner it should, it creates serious pandemonium, particularly when in a province like that one, whereby people then, even only if they realize that, okay, justice is failing us, we better take law into the hands. Then you get the recycling of this vicious, vicious cycle. Now, it is in that particular context, Chairperson, that I'm saying, maybe we will need to do something and maybe recommend something so as to ensure that we are able to actually get into the shoes of those people who are recipients of the service that is being discharged by all of us, not just by police, because maybe to say police can be just a panacea to the problems that are facing this country, I think we will be making a mistake, because they seem to be too much. But all of us, including ourselves as public representatives, what else will have to be done? Maybe if it can also be recommended to us, so that we can, even when we go back to the House, begin to persuade the House Chairperson, if then there are certain interventions that are required. Otherwise, I'm telling you, to me, I'm still not convinced that we are really winning the battle against crime in this country. Otherwise, the country will be burning pretty soon, and people losing total confidence from not only government, police and government alike, and just people saying that we are sick and tired and fed up of this thing. It's just not working at all. Thank you.
Yeah, honourable members, I think we're not going to find consensus or sufficient consensus on this one. I think from the committee side, we welcome the new indicators, but I mean, the big thing is the technical indicator description is still not available, and that's maybe part of the problem, you know, and then to amend it. So I think maybe what we should do, I'll give an opportunity to the Acting National Commissioner just to respond shortly, but then I want to go just to vehicle ratio for detectives training and a few other issues before we move on. But I think in terms of our report to the House that we will adopt, I think we've taken note of the recommendations of the colleagues, and we'll make those recommendations. Where the targets is too low, we'll ask for a review, and of course for those issues dealing with serious crimes, we will also make recommendations. But I mean, we also take note of the input of General Paslane and General Rao. But I think we can't take it forward. But I think, once again, the TID is essential for us to really debate this topic. But let's close this matter. A final word on that, and then I just want to move to the issue of detective vehicle ratio and also the issues of training. Is there any new training initiatives? And again, the issue of docket loads for detectives, the same as the previous year, just that we can just get an update on that as well.
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think I value the contribution and the issues that are raised with us in this regard. But maybe I wanted, that's why I had my hand up after Honourable Ramatakani spoke. I think my explanation when I spoke about Vuani and used the other examples, it was confined to dealing with this target of contributing to the successful prosecution of offenders relating to public violence. It did not relate to the justification on the targets related to the broader detection and so on. Those things, and I think, Honourable Chair, I have explained where we were, where we are now, and the commitment to to continue to push ourselves going up. I'm satisfied that the work has been done. Low as those targets were then, we were not achieving them. We are now at a point where we can say we at least are achieving and good systems, and the next logical step is to continue to stretch ourselves to go a little bit up. Just on that, on the if for us, and I think the honourable members know very well that one of the things that we is legislated is the proper processing of crime scenes, because at times you don't have a witness, someone who can tell you this and that happened. It is that which you get on the crime scene that is your most important witness in court. Now you don't find that in the case of public violence. There are no witnesses, someone to tell you we saw this person is looking like this and that, and that is why it remains a very difficult one for us to be pinned on. Not that we don't want to do work. We do work in that regard. We will continue to effect arrests, but we are just simply saying that it is bigger than us as the police. And we're not going to escape our responsibility chain in terms of the detection rate, contributing towards the conviction rate, the arrest. It's a must. That is part of our work. But in respect of public violence, we are very thin. That is why it is removed, to allow ourselves an opportunity to develop systems. One of the things, Chair, that we earlier were talking about in respect of the new generation, Yalas, even with regard to the what is it, the helicopters that we have, are they equipped with the recording facilities to be able to do that aerial recording? Because you can go back there and say, let's now reconstruct the scene. But in the absence thereof, you don't have anything tangible to go to court, because now you would have effected, they were all running into a direction. All what you can say is that they were there, they were running, we could not have left them alone. But now the court wants to know, tell us, what did this one do, what did that one do? We are not able to explain ourselves. So it is for that reason on the public violence that it is not included. But we appreciate the input. Just a few responses to other questions. Honourable Muller raised the question of the backlog in the forensic services environment. Why the 10%? Well, if it is more than 10%, it becomes too much. But we also have looked at the international standard that the laboratories across the globe, the standard that they have set is between 13 and 15%. The backlog is not supposed to exceed 13 and 15%. While we have set the target on 10%, we are doing far better than that. Currently, the backlog in the laboratory is only 1.35% of the workload. Now, we can't go and set the target and say it must not exceed 2%, because the volumes that we are generating in our laboratories are far more than any other laboratory in the world. If we take, for example, what the buccal samples and so on did, they increase. So 10% we think is a reasonable target, but we don't relax and say we said it must not exceed 10%. We continue to be pushing it. That is why the backlog at the end of the 2016-17 financial year was 9849, which is 1.35% better than what the backlog was at the end of the 2015-16 financial year. It was 5%, and it was 18,488. So we continue to be doing well in that particular area. Honorable Chair, there was a question about the termination of project. May I request that that be dealt with tomorrow because it's part of the DPCI in environment. Also, the question that Honorable Mulevati raised around the social movement, the case, the one of the one with the name with the target on the name list, that matter is being dealt with by the DPCI, and I know that it was in court yesterday. Also, now I don't have the latest information on it. If we can deal with it tomorrow, check, I'll appreciate. The people waiting for fingerprints for 2 to 3 days, I know the concern, Honorable Chair, maybe there is a specific area, it's not supposed to be the case. There is an operational target that there must at least be a response. I think it is within an hour from when they are activated. So we may want, but that is part of the capacity that we require for crime scene in the LCRC to add more so that we even are able to deploy further down the line. The detection rate, I think we have taken care of it. I thought, Honorable Grunewald, I've dealt with the practical way of fingerprints yesterday.
Chairperson, on the final thoughts, touches, I will direct.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Grunewald. I dealt with the detection rate. I think the issue, Honorable Mshongo, around the successful project, again, is tomorrow's one. I think, Chair, I dealt with them unless Honorable Ramatakani will have a grievance on the underperforming need to improve. I thought I've covered that one, as well as what is it that must be done to take up the area. We have spoken comprehensively to that. So, Chair, the issues I respond. There was a question before the break, which we did not deal with, of Honorable Ramatakani, the Alpha Bravo, and the Charlie. That matter, for the first time, I'm excited when I get that question, because I realize that for the first time we have achieved it. Every time we report even back to the cluster, it's only red, but this time around it's green, Alpha Bravo in Charlie. And unfortunately, I can only talk about it on a national level, because it's the national picture. But yes, if you go down, there will be some problems because, for example, some rural areas, you know, like Honorable Hunderwald mentioned, you have maybe one vehicle there, so it takes long to get to those particular areas. But this is what we'll continue working on, improving building capacity at station level to be able to improve our response time. Thanks, Chair.
Right, maybe if we can just, the few issues that I've raised, the vehicle ratio per detectives, is it improving? And then the docket, you know, the docket load of each investigator, if we can just get an indication, and also the issue of training, because I think the training is an issue that we've raised previously, and I just want to get a sense of what's the picture for this year.
Chair, I was going to ask that maybe we deal with that a little bit later so that I can be able to get the details. Also, it includes the question that Honorable Funderwald raised of the number of detectives, because correctly so, in the staff establishment, we have mentioned 393. That is only the people that are at the division in Pretoria, sitting in Wagfontein. It did not include all detectives, including at station level. So we will provide that figure a little bit later on. Thank you.
Honourable members, we're going to take a literally 5-minute tea break. You can welcome to get tea, coffee outside, and we come back for crime intelligence and, of course, program 5.